Yeah, I think we left off in verse 44, 45, around there. We had talked about... No, that's not going to be it. We left off in... let's see. Verse number 51, I think. Yeah, here it is, verse 51. Matthew 26, verse 51. It says, "And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear." Now, we read, I think it's in John's gospel, that lets you know that's Simon Peter that did that. And so Peter's not understanding what's going on here. You know, at first the Lord told him at one place, you know, take up your sword and things like that. But one thing that a lot of people don't get about this is the Lord is showing restraint here. The Lord, if he wanted to, could have, I don't think anybody would question this, but I think you know that the Lord, if he wanted to, he could have got himself out of that situation. If the Lord were able to turn over those tables of the money changers and run them out with a whip and stuff like that, and then if you'll read John's account, when they come to get him, they ask for him, and they say, "Which one of you is Jesus?" And he says, "I am he," and they all fall backward. So if Jesus had wanted to get out of this situation, he could. He's showing them how to exercise restraint. Simon Peter, okay, you've got a sword, but exercise restraint and not using it, because it's not time when it... He's supposed to go at the command of Jesus and everything else. Jesus is the Lord. So he should have waited on the Lord, but he goes on his own, in his own command, and cuts the ear off of Malchus. And that's how we find out in another gospel. That's his name. So the Lord is about to explain to him why, here in the next verses, the reasons why this must take place. We're exercising restraint here. Yes, we had the power to do things, but you have to exercise restraint. You know, the Bible says over there, Paul says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient for me." Some things you can do, but it won't be a good thing to do it. I had one guy, and he's working construction. I was taking some Bible classes with him, and we were talking about working and stuff, and somehow we got off on the subject of drinking root beer. You know, like some people like Dr. Pepper, and some people like... He said, I won't drink those root beers. And I said, "Well, how come?" He said, "Well, it's not a sin." He said, "But those men know I'm a Christian, and they're looking for any little thing for me to be doing to resemble sin so they can..." And I thought to myself, "Huh, that's somebody really trying right there." Now, all of us know that there's no sin in drinking root beer. But you know what he was trying to do, hit the best of his ability. He was trying his best to be a good testimony around those men who he knew was watching him. And you know what? He is a very good testimony. From what I know about that man right there, anybody who knows him, even people who don't like him, will say, "I tell you what, that fella right there is an honest guy, man." Now, you know what he's doing? He's exercising the power of restraint. He could do that and look, not even be sinning, but just in that, of who he's around, he's trying to be a good testimony. The Lord's trying to show Peter to exercise restraint. Now, here's some reasons here that he gives him. Look at verse number 52. It says, "Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." So there's one reason right there. Hey, you take that sword, you're going to end up perishing with it. You better watch what you do. A lot of things, the things you take up, better, you know, people say, "I've taken up this habit, and I've taken up this hobby." Better be careful what you take up. Because if it's not something the Lord wants you to do, it before long, that thing that you take up can be the very thing that gets you. Yes. We have to be real careful about what kind of hobbies we take, and because where are they leading us? You know, there's been a many man... Y'all, now, when I'm saying this, we're talking about restraint. Y'all know as well as I do, there is no sin in golfing. There's no sin in fishing. There's no sin in hunting. But if you take that thing up, you take that hobby up, and that leads you away from the Lord, now you got a problem. See, he's saying, look, all things are lawful. It's lawful for you to hunt and fish and golf or whatever, but all things are not expedient. If you take that thing up, and before long, one game leads to another and another, and before long, well, we're just on this Sunday here. Or, well, we're just going to do it on this. And before long, that little compromise, he said, you take the sword, you'll perish with the sword. You better be careful about taking something as dangerous as wielding a sword. And you think, well, it's just a sword. It's not going to hurt anything. Yeah, you take it up and you use it for the wrong reason. Mm-hmm. That's like the Bible. You use that thing for the wrong reason, it'll mess you up. Yeah. Now, doctrinally speaking, I like to give you some doctrinal stuff. You know, as far as the Gospels go, the Bible teaches you that they knew nothing of the mysteries of Paul. The Bible says over there all they knew were the sufferings of the Old Testament, talked about the sufferings of Christ, and the Bible says the glory that should follow. They didn't know of a church age. Well, it wasn't revealed until the Apostle Paul. So you read over in Revelation 13, you don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to give you a little. I like to teach y'all the right division at the same time. Revelation 13:10. The Bible says, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Prophecy-wise, here they are. They're about to enter into Daniel's 70th week. And we know it's put on hold. The last part of it's put on hold for the church age. But he's warning Peter, hey, here's the patience of the saints. You better watch that sword right there. You know what the law says? Thou shalt not kill. Now, it, for self-defense, the law gave them self-defense. But that guy right there, Malchus, wasn't even attacking him yet. Here they are, he's just standing there. It hadn't escalated. So guess what? The Lord's saying, hey, you take up that sword and you go against the law, you're going to perish. Now, you know what? The Bible says this is a sword of the Spirit. Now, here's another spiritual application. Be careful how you take this Bible. You're supposed to believe it. Now, here's another thing, too. I believe it, but I'm not going to force my beliefs on anybody else. I'm not going to take that sword. Well, you don't believe like I do. Some people do.
Yeah.
You know what I say? Hey, you got free will. This is what the Word of God says. And Paul teaches us to study it rightly divided. And if you don't believe that, hey, that's between you and God. I'm not going to sit here and get worked up about it. I'm just going, okay, that's you. I just told you what the Word says, and look, I'm going on about my business. We get worked up and take that sword up, and before long, you think about it. If the Lord hadn't done a miraculous work on Malchus, he wouldn't have had a second opportunity to hear. A lot of times we wonder why people won't hear is because we've taken the sword and cut the ear off with the sword. Now the Lord has to do a miraculous work now and put that ear back on to give him a second opportunity to hear. Wow, that's up to the Lord to work on people's ears. Yes. We say, how come they aren't hearing? Well, that's up to the Lord. Thanks. The Lord's the only one that can fix the ear. We cut them off a lot, but the Lord's the one that can work on them. Yes. Leave it to God. So he's telling him that. Here's another thing. He says, verse 53, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Now you think about that. If one angel over in the Old Testament, that one angel came through over, I think it's in 1 Kings, maybe I might be wrong, but that one angel came through one night and killed 185,000 soldiers. Yeah. If 12 legions, if one could kill 185,000, in one night, what could 12 legions, they could kill the world over and over. What Jesus is saying is, trust me, I've got this under control. You see what he's telling some people? You know what we want to do? I'm going to take over. I'm going to take my sword out. I'm going to fight. Some of these people, some of the craziest people, they think they're going to fight what the government's doing, all this stuff. They think they're going to go here and take their swords. Look here, you can't do it. Why? The Lord's done said in his word. What's going to happen? He said they're going to get worse and worse and worse. And one of these days, the Lord's going to come and he's going to take it all over. He can do it. He can. 12 legions of angels. Look, the Lord can do it. So you know what we need to do? Trust. This on this side, this is the time for trust. We'll see later. But we want to take it in our own hands. What he's saying is don't take it in your own hand. I can do it if I want to. I'm exercising restraint. You know what we're supposed to do? Exercise restraint. He says here in the next verse, but how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? Yeah. You know, another thing, the Bible's got to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
Here we go again. A lot of folks think, man, we got to do this and we got to do that. We got to do the other thing. You know what he says? The scripture must be fulfilled.
Yeah.
You're not going to get around it. You know what? Let's say people did fix up the pig pen. You got so many prodigals out there. You know what the world would do today? They'd fix up the pig pen so much, air condition it, clean it up and everything. He'd just stay in the pig pen. You know what? One thing, maybe God's allowing things to get really bad so people will come back to the Father.
Amen.
A lot of times people fix things up for people. And you guess what? They don't never hit rock bottom. And the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ is the rock.
Mm-hmm.
So wonder why they don't ever come to Christ. Why? Because somebody's padding the bottom so they don't ever find the rock.
Amen.
A lot of these people, I tell you what, they're heading to the... And one of the worst things, or one of the best things, rather, that can happen to them is them to hit rock bottom and they'll turn back to the Lord.
Amen.
But people just help them and help them and help them and help them fixing the pig pen up is all you're doing. Sweep it out, air condition it, make it real comfortable, and he'll stay there and he won't ever come home. You know what the Lord's saying right there? The scripture's got to be fulfilled. What I've said is going to happen is going to happen. You know what's going to happen with all the government and the world and everything? What the Lord Jesus Christ said is going to happen no matter what you do. This world tries to get all these social programs and they try to use the church to fix up the world and do all this stuff. And look, get the gospel out, get the gospel out, get the gospel out. Jesus said, the poor you have always. You know what? Until the Lord Jesus come back and fix this thing, you're not going to take money that should be going to give Bibles out and the gospel out and stuff like that and feed the poor and fix things. That's not going to happen.
Amen.
Now, look, I'm all for if somebody wants to give the gospel out and buy somebody a meal, witness over a meal, or buy somebody some groceries and say, hey, I bought you the groceries. Now, if you don't care, I want to give you 2 or 3 minutes here and tell you about the Lord. That's fine. But just to think you're going to eradicate it, not going to do it. The scripture is going to be fulfilled. He's telling Peter these things. We can learn. It says in verse 55, in that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. So you see what the Lord's saying here in verses to Peter in verse 53, 54, 55. The Lord's saying, hey, you better trust me. Look, they can't take, no man taketh my life. All right, so let me show you the last reason here. Look at John 18. We'll go over here just a minute and show you this other reason he's telling Simon Peter, just to kind of go over this real good. He's trying to let Simon Peter know something. Here's the thing that Simon Peter cannot get. In John 18, verse 11, it says, then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Well, you know what? In Jeremiah 25, 15, and Psalm 75, 8, and in Matthew 26, 39, we went over it. That cup is the wrath of God. It's called the wrath of God over in the Old Testament, which these Jews should have been familiar with, is called the wrath of God. He's saying, hey, I've got to take this. It's necessary for me to go suffer for even any glory to follow. Now, you know what he's saying? He told Simon Peter later on, after all these things happened, Simon Peter was going to have to suffer. Now, you know what people don't want is the suffering part. And if I ever get to it in the message today, there's a little bit about that. But he's given Peter these reasons, and we have to consider these things. A lot of times when something's going on we don't know, we can consider these same things. That he said, hey, we got to have some restraint. I can hurt people if I don't have restraint. I got to realize that God's got it under control. He could send angels if he wanted to. And I got to realize the scripture must be fulfilled, and I got to realize suffering is a part of things, and that'll help us. Now, in verse 55, the Bible says, in that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are ye, I've already read that, but anyway, he'd sat there with them. I mean, they should know better. He wasn't hiding anything. Verse 56, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Now, the scriptures of the prophets, if you want to read about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in great detail, it's not in the Gospels, it's in the Old Testament. They plowed his back and stuff like that. All that's in the prophet. The prophets foretold of the suffering of the Savior, but it said he was going to suffer and come right back and rule and reign. They did not see the gap between Daniel's 70th week, because the church age doctrines were revealed to the Apostle Paul. And so that's where the missing people, you wouldn't believe how much of Christianity does not see that. And that's why you got a lot of people who think that the Bible's already happened and all that stuff. Why? Because they see, hey, he said in Matthew, the kingdom is at hand. It was at hand. Then what happened is they rejected with the stoning of Stephen. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Father answered his prayer in early Acts. The clock's still ticking. At the stoning of Stephen, the clock stopped. He takes out the Apostle Paul, puts in the church age. It's a gap in Daniel's 70th week. That's why that Bible will fit right back together. Once the church age is over with, boom, it'll fit right back together. Fits together just like a beautiful piece of tapestry. And that's why he's saying, look, the scriptures of the prophets have to be fulfilled. That's why in Matthew, you read all through Matthew, that it might be fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled. They were seeing it being fulfilled. They were literally in the last days. It was ready to be fulfilled. I mean, prophecy was ready to be fulfilled, and their kingdom was right there ready to be taken and entered into. But they rejected. Now, here's another thing that you need to see about this. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. All of them did. But now it's going to hone in on Peter. Why? Because he was, in a lot of sense, he was their leader. And that's why for us, when I read this Bible right here, we got to really, really be careful, because all of us have got somebody that we're influenced over. Whether you know it or not, there's somebody out there that likes you, somebody loves you, somebody looks up to you. And when they saw the bravest one run to the hills, the rest of them thought, oh man. Now there's something to be said about this too. All the men forsook him. And a lot of people talk about women a whole lot, but and talk about how women don't do this and don't do that. Well, it's the women that's up there with him. They're up there literally at the foot of the cross. I'm telling you something. You couldn't have pried Jesus' mother away from the Lord, I can tell you. She was right there. So they're brave. But we're going to look at something here about Simon Peter, about backsliding. I think it'd be a help to you. It's a help to me. Verse 57 says, "And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled." Now watch this. "But..." I got this underlined in my Bible. "Peter followed him afar off under the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end." Now, the Bible in the Old Testament calls this backsliding, but Paul calls it getting out of fellowship. Now, I want to show you a few steps according to this Bible here about getting out of fellowship with the Lord or backsliding. I want you to see the start of this thing, or one of the starts. Look at Matthew 26, same chapter, verse number 33. Verse number 33. It says, "Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Everybody else will do it, but I wouldn't do it. You know what that Bible tells you? That Bible says that you better beware lest you fall. And that Bible tells you, I want to read a verse to you out of 1 Corinthians 10. You don't have to turn there, but this is just, we're going to go over several verses. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." You know what? If we ever get to the place we say, "I would never do that," you better be careful. That may just be the very thing that you end up doing. Now, Peter thinks he's better than the rest of the disciples. Hey, all the rest of them may do. That's why when in John chapter 21, when the Lord says, "Now lovest thou more than these," you know what he's saying? Do you think now that all this has happened, you think you love me more than the rest of them did? All of you forsook me. When we get to thinking, I love Jesus more than anybody else you know. I don't know. You haven't met everybody. There's some other people out there that do a whole lot for the Lord. A lot of times we get to the place where we think we got a monopoly on the Lord, and we wouldn't ever do what so-and-so else would do. You better be careful. Why? That's pride. So, number one thing, a haughty spirit goeth before fall. Pride goeth before destruction. He had pride. Now, here's another thing. The Lord is going up here and starting to pray. And you know what he said? Look at verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know what we start saying? I would never do it. And then what we'll do is that pride keeps us from praying. And I'll tell you something. One thing that we can tell, you start watching that prayer life and you get to where you can go days without praying, that's dangerous. You will enter into temptation. Why? He gives you the answer. Look, your spirit wants to serve God. The Holy Spirit on the inside of you wants to serve God. The Bible teaches you that the Spirit is inside you. In Romans, over and over and over. Matter of fact, it goes so far to say in... I want to read that verse to you. Let's see here. I should have marked that verse, but anyway, here it is. Romans 8:9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of him. What he's saying, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not Christ anyway. He's dwelling in you. Now, if he's dwelling in you, he wants to do right, but guess what? You got a flesh nature that doesn't want to pray. Now, a lot of people think, well, man, I'm just a sinner. I got down there. I didn't want to pray. Well, look, that's natural. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times, I probably can't count them, how many times I got down and I did not want to pray. But once I start praying, I'm glad I did once I did. Well, that spirit, then you get that fellowship of that spirit's putting the flesh down. Now, that's what we've got to do. Peter, he got to the place where he was prideful, got to the place he wasn't praying. Now, let me show you a few more verses. And this here, you'll see a progression there. Look at Matthew 26, verse number 51 and 52. We just went over them. Now, before long, he's getting to the place where he's not yielding to the Lord. He's doing things on his own command. You stop praying. Or you get prideful, you stop praying, and then before long, you go by your own practice. You go by your own precept. I just make up my own rules. See that rebellion? Then before long, back to verse 58, he's following afar off. You see what he's doing? Now, look here at verse number 69. Now, Peter sat without in the palace. He's outside now. And a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee, but he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Now, a lot of people say, I'll tell you what, a person knows the Lord would never do so and so. Peter knew the Lord as well as anybody you know, and you heard what he just said. I know not what thou sayest. He's saying, hey, I don't know the man. Y'all a bunch of liars. Now, you see, a man, we say, I would never deny the Lord. We deny him in works all the time. Titus said that. That's why you got to be careful about this, what's called fruit inspecting. People say, I looked at their fruit. They ain't no way they know the Lord. Well, you must not read very much Bible then. I know a man in the Bible that knew the Lord very well. David killed a man. Had a man. That's pretty bad right there. Adultery and murder all in one day. I'll tell you something, that's pretty bad stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying according to the Bible, if we don't yield to God, we can do things awful. As bad as anybody we've ever talked about. Why? It comes from not yielding to God. Watch what he says. 71, and when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him. Well, what's the deal about these little maids? He went from courage to coward. And said unto them, that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. Watch this. I don't know why I use that manly voice. And again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. You see what sin does? Makes cowards of us all. It makes a cow. You know what? Here's Adam over in the Bible in Genesis. First thing, he's walking with the Lord, and then all of a sudden he's saying, the Lord's having to look for him. He's hiding. You know what sin will make you do? Hide. Make you not want to be around anybody. Get away from everybody you know. So it's sin. He said, I don't know the man. Watch this. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bereath thee. I tell you what. Wouldn't that be something right there if somebody could say for us, hey, I know you're serving the Lord because the way you talk different. You don't use the same language they do. You don't tell that old same terrible stuff they do. Wouldn't that be a blessing?
Amen.
But watch what Peter says here. Then began he to curse. He knows how lost men talk, don't he? You know, that type of speech is specific of somebody who doesn't follow the Lord. And you know, if you read, I think it's maybe Exodus 5:2. Let me check that reference. But that's how a believer out of or somebody that's not following the Lord talks. Let me see if I made that reference right. Let's see. Man, I wanted to find that. Maybe it's not that one. I wanted to show you this one. I had a real good reference I saw this morning, but I've looked over so many I forgot where it was. Well, I had to find it later. But anyway, you got some of these folks, you know, they say, well, he cusses like a sailor and stuff like that. Well, that's showing you there that there's a certain type of speech that people who are not either not in fellowship or don't not following the Lord at least that much. Peter's not following the Lord here, following from far off. So you adopt that kind of speech, you're talking just like somebody who doesn't follow the Lord. That's why we have to be careful how we talk. Now watch this. It says, then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. Watch this. In verse 75, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus. Now, you know what? You know what's going to bring? It's nothing like coming back to that Bible all the time. Now, Peter had already heard that word, but he remembered it. You know, that's why y'all keep reading that Bible, every day. Because I can't tell you how many times, I don't even know by this point how many times I've read through the Proverbs. But I'll read through there and I'll read that proverb today and say, wow, that's that verse right there. I knew that. Man, that's a good verse right there. And but what's happened is we have to be reminded. Why? Our minds are so easy to forget. We forget things all the time. And you know what? We have to be reminded. Peter was reminded. You know one of the best things that can happen to us is us be reminded of what God says. You know what I do a lot of times? I'll get to the place where something bothers me or something like that, and I'll say, let me get back in here and remind myself of what God says about that issue. I'll get back in that Bible and start getting some reminders, and before long, I've got the confidence I need to do what God wants me to do. Why? Because I've got in there and got that reminder and got that reminder, and look what it says. Said Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. One of the best things that can happen to us is us get to the place where sin bothers us. In just the last few minutes of time, turn to Jeremiah chapter 42. And I want to give you some quick results, a quick outline. I might, one of these days, may preach this thing. Maybe at a revival or something. I had a couple messages I was praying about, but I want to read to you out of Jeremiah 42, and some of the results of backsliding. And you know what? As far as spiritual application, these will fit as we get into looking about getting out of fellowship. Paul said, "You can't drink of the table with devils and have fellowship with devils." What he said, it's a table has to do with fellowship. Now, he had just said in 1 Corinthians 1:8, he started the book off saying, hey, the Lord's going to confirm you unto the end. So your salvation, their salvation wasn't in question. You know what was in question? Their fellowship. He said, don't fellowship with folks who are walking in the way of the world. Why? You'll get that mindset, and before long you're thinking like they are. All right, now there's some things that will happen from getting out of fellowship with the Lord and what the Bible called backsliding. In Jeremiah 42, look at verse 13. But if we say we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. Here's some results right here. Number one, you'll retreat to the world. Egypt's a type of the world. You know what it says?
Yes.
We will go in the land of Egypt. You get out of fellowship, and you go right, every time you go right to the world. You'll go right to the world. You can mark it down every single time. You can start getting out of fellowship. The first thing you'll do is get right back to the world, the worldly way of thinking, the worldly course of this world and things like this, this present evil world, and be just like Demas. All right, now notice the next thing you'll do. You'll retire from war, where we shall see no war. You know what you'll do? You'll stop fighting a good fight of faith.
Hey, yeah.
Stop being a good soldier. I tell you something, you talking about soldiers. The Bible said war, a good warfare, be a good soldier. Soldiers are dying off left and right.
Yeah.
Going AWOL, dropping off the battlefield and all this stuff. That you know what's going on, what you're seeing? You're seeing the results of backsliding or the results of getting out of fellowship with the Lord.
Yeah.
Simon Peter saw it, followed far off, and slowly but surely fizzles out. And which thank the Lord, he remembered that word and wept bitterly and gets right. We know that. But watch this. Then the next thing is you can't hear the word, nor hear the sound of the trumpet. That's a sad thing right there. You know what's wrong? Paul talked about over in 1 Corinthians 14, people sounding like this and sounding like that, making all kind of sound. He said it's uncertain. It's an uncertain sound. Now, you know what? The Bible says, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and stuff like that. People get to the place where they do not want to hear preaching anymore. You know what? As a whole, this world does not want to hear preaching. And I'm not saying somebody even has to get up here and shout or anything else, but just getting to the place, the old paths of just listening to the Word of God. Y'all, it's good for us. You know, I'm not going to stand. I like to hear preaching too. I've got two or three preachers I like to listen to. Because I'm not going to tell myself what somebody else who's been hearing from God would say to me. Well, my flesh wants to hear the good, smooth, easy things. But they don't want to hear the Word. They can't hear the Word. Now watch this. Then they can't hunger for the Word. It says, nor have hunger of bread. Well, the Word of God's called bread. Psalm 141 verse 4, I believe, and Matthew 4 verse 4, it's called bread. Well, you get to the place where you don't want the Word of God. That's out of fellowship right there. Now, I wonder how many people can go a full week and not even look at their Bible. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You pray, you talk to God, but you whenever you read your Bible, that's you listening to God. So if you don't want to read your Bible, if you don't ever want to get in your Bible and read, that is your inside, that inner man saying, I don't want to hear from God. Now that's dangerous. That's a dangerous place to be. Why? It's the Word of God that gives us correction, yeah. Reproof, instruction in righteousness.
Dang.
Now here's the next thing. Then you dwell in the wilderness. Watch that. And there will we dwell. It's on their will. They're not going there because they have to. There will we dwell. We'll just dwell there. You know what happens? You get to the place. So if you don't get over there like Simon Peter and get right with the Lord and get to the place where you can weep over your sins and say, Lord, I've sinned. I need help with this thing and actually call out to Him. You know what happened? You get to the place where you want to dwell in the dry wilderness. That's a bad place. You know what? I don't want anybody to go there. And the Lord does. The Lord would like to have you come to Him. And get in fellowship and restore that fellowship. And I know there are some people teach that you can't get out of fellowship. That is nonsense. The Apostle Paul teaches that. He says that you can lose your fellowship and get out of fellowship. And he says you can have a fellowship with devils there. I don't want that. And I don't want to see anybody else. But you know what the thing is? Peter said to remember the word. Yeah. The cure, every time, every sermon I preach, I have to point people to the word. Well, this is what you have to go by. I've heard people say basic instruction before leaving earth. Mm-hmm. This is the instruction manual. We just go right back to the instruction manual. I'll put the things together and Carla say, did you read the instruction? No. I'll say, I got a few screws left over here. Well, that thing's not going to be as sturdy as it would have been had you read the instruction manual. You know what we're supposed to do? Just go right back to the instruction manual. Get down with the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help. You know what he'll do? The Lord will help you. And I thank God we serve such a God. We'll close out there.